Well, had you turned here to 1 Peter 5, as we are coming to a conclusion of our series on elders or leaders here in the church. You know, between the Sunday mornings and the Wednesday evenings, this is going to be the 16th message that we're going to be looking at this topic together. I want to just share with you why that is that I was doing this. One, I thought it was appropriate since we are about to reaffirm the lay elders in our church. But two, as you know, because now we have two lay elders at this time, you may be asking yourself, are we going to appoint more elders in our church? And beloved, my hope, or at least one of my hope from this series, is that it may cause a man or some men in our church to start to give some serious and prayerful thought about possibly being an elder in the church. Obviously, we know it'd be one that would be called by God. But also with that, as far as appointing elders or future elders in our church, I hope from this time together you see and understand that the process that we would be looking to follow, that this would not be something that would happen very quickly. If I go back to what Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, when he says, I'm writing these things to you so that you will know how you ought to conduct yourself in the household of God. And a part of those things he was writing to him about was about leadership in the church and how they should conduct themselves and the appointing of elders and leaders. So with that in mind today, what I want us to do in our last message is really kind of take us through what are elders responsible to do in the church? If you think about it, last Sunday as I walked through the particular skills an elder must have, as we did that, we were also really indirectly discovering what it is that elders do. That is, if the man is to be skilled at managing and leading his home, as well as at teaching, then surely his job responsibilities will have something to do with those skill sets. Furthermore, as we learn from 1 Timothy 3, where we're looking at the man's calling to leadership in the church, what it is he's desiring the work of being a pastor, an overseer. And it is a fine work, it's an excellent work of the most high calling. I would say it's even a work that's more important than being a president of the United States. I had you turn here to 1 Peter 5. And I want to read verses 1 through 4. So we're going to walk through some of these things together, where Peter writes, therefore, I exhort the elders among you as fellow elders and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and as a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Beloved, I turn here, and we're going to look over in Acts 20 as well. Because what I want you to see here is the overarching responsibility for pastors or elders in the church is simply to shepherd God's people. He says it there in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God among you. If you keep your finger there just with you, don't lose it, but go over to Acts chapter 20. We're going to look at this place as well. When Paul was speaking to the elders of the church in Ephesus, he says to them in verse 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So, beloved, the responsibility of pastors in the church, elders and leaders in the church, is about shepherding God's people. And this shepherding is simply feeding and tending to the sheep. When Jesus reaffirmed Peter for ministry at the end of the Gospel of John, he called on him to feed and to tend to his sheep. This feeding is the preaching and the teaching of God's word. The tending to the sheep is the pastoring of God's people. So the feeding is going to require a labor, laboring in the word and laboring in prayer. And this tending to the sheep is going to require leading and looking after the sheep. But again, beloved, where is this to come from? It's to come from a love for Christ. When Jesus kept asking Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And when Peter would respond, Jesus then, in response to Peter's response, would then say, "Well, then go feed my sheep." If you're saying you love me, then your responsibility is to go feed them, go tend to my sheep. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul said of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 8 when he says, "I have a love for you that is the affections of Christ. I have you in my heart." It's from the affections, the love I have from Christ. I have for Christ what means I have it for you. And as you look down in our passage in 1 Peter 5, down in verse 4, the chief shepherd here is the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says over in chapter 2, verse 25, he's the shepherd and the guardian of our souls. But Jesus, as the chief shepherd, is not here. So what has he done? He's appointed in the church elders who are to be the under shepherds of him, who have now that responsibility to feed and to care and to tend for his sheep. So listen carefully, beloved. That means every person here who has been saved by the grace of God, you are a sheep. You are a sheep. And if you're a sheep, that means you need shepherds in your life. See, that's the way Jesus has designed it. That's the way Jesus is building the church. Sheep don't do well when they're isolated apart from the other sheep. And they definitely don't do well when they're isolated and out from under shepherds who are there to feed and to care for them. Now, as we're going to look at this idea of shepherding, before we look at what it is to shepherd, that laboring and leading and looking after, here from 1 Peter 5 and even over in Acts 20, there's three other very basic questions about shepherding that are very important, I think, for us to answer. And the questions are who, how, and why. Who, how, and why of shepherding? By the who there, the simple question is this: who are the people that the elders here at Grace Bible Church in Seminole, who are they supposed to shepherd? This is an important question to ask and to know, because from what we learned early on in this study in Hebrews 13 in verse 17, we have a responsibility to watch over the souls, and we're going to have to give an account. Well, who do I have to give an account for? Well, notice if we look back in our text for a moment. In verse 2, shepherd the flock of God. Let's just stop there for a moment. Shepherd the flock of God. Over in Acts chapter 20, he said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God." To shepherd the church of God, the flock of God. But what I'm trying to see for us here is, it is God's people, God's sheep, God's flock. That's who you are. You are God's people. And how it is that you are God's people is broken down in thinking about how it is that God saves us, why it is that God saves us. You notice back over in that Acts 20 and verse 28 where he says to shepherd the church of God, then he describes the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. You see, beloved, you are God's people here this morning because first and foremost, the Father selected you and appointed you unto salvation and redemption before the foundation of the world. And then the Son himself came and secured your salvation and accomplished your salvation when he was on the cross. And then the Spirit of God sought you out and applied that salvation and redemption to you. You see, it was by the Father's eternal choice, the Son's effectual or effective cross work, and the Holy Spirit's effectual call on your life. It is the Trinity, the whole God, and who we serve and worship. He is why you are his people. He purchased you. Christ came and laid down his life for his sheep, and his sheep hear his voice, and they respond by faith. Thus, you are his people. And you see, as a pastor, I have to always remember that. Yes, in one sense, you are my people, but ultimately, you're God's people. You're not my people. I'm just a steward. I'm just simply a steward. I have a stewardship. But there's one other aspect about this I want you to see. Not just that he appointed you and he accomplished this for you and he applied it for you, but now even back in 1 Peter 5 and in Acts 20, I want you to also see that he has also providentially allotted you to be here at this moment and at this time. You see, notice again, let's go back to 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. Shepherd the flock of God. If we just stop there, that would mean that I have a responsibility to shepherd every single person who's been saved. But that's not true, because he goes on to say, shepherd the flock of God among you. Just as in Acts chapter 20, in that verse 28, he says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. You see, it's only among them, the ones that the Spirit of God has made you overseers. Well, how has he made you overseers in that sense? Well, go back again to 1 Peter chapter 5 and look down in verse 3, which says, nor yet as lording it over who? Those that have been allotted to your charge, you see. The who is you're responsible for shepherding those among you that God has allotted to your charge there. He's providentially worked that out. He's placed you here. You see, God providentially is the one who has you here for this time in your life. It may be for a year, 2 years, 5 years. It may be for the rest of your life. But this is where God has allotted you to the charge of those that are there to shepherd your heart and to shepherd your life. Thus, beloved, as we think about some implications of this, this means the elders here at Grace Bible Church are not responsible for all of God's people, only those among us, only those that God has providentially allotted to our charge. Thus, true Christians that attach themselves or have identified themselves to other churches, they're not our responsibility. God's not going to hold me accountable for how other churches are being shepherded. And I have no authority because I'm not an elder there. I have no responsibility nor authority with them because God has not allotted them to my charge. I thought about this as an example. I was the pastor, teacher, elder at First Baptist Church Roosevelt for over 14 years. But understand, as of today, I have no authority over what they do and how they do it. Why? Because I'm not a shepherd there. No one there is allotted to my charge. I still have wonderful and very close friends there. I have close friends there that I talk to on a pretty consistent basis. I have close friends there that I talk to about spiritual things. I have close friends there that come and talk to me at times about spiritual things. But in the end, beloved, you have to understand, they are responsible to listen, to interact, and resolve things with their shepherds and not with me. I'm not their shepherd. I don't have that authority or place in their life. So it's important that we understand who it is that we're responsible for. But the second question then is how? How do we shepherd? And let's go back to our text in 1 Peter 5. And we've already touched on some of this when we're talking about the man's call. When you look there in verse 2, it says, shepherding by exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, and nor yet as lording it over those that have been allotted to your charge. Proving to be an example to the flock. Basically, how is this to be done? That is voluntarily, eagerly, and according to the will of God. And definitely, as you look there in verse 3, not as lording it over them. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said over in the Gospel of Mark, in Mark chapter 10 and verses 42 to 44. Where in that context, remember there was James and John who come there, and their mother is a part of this too. And they come asking for a seat of glory. We want to sit on your left and we want to sit on your right. We want to sit directly by you. We want to be in a prominent position. And you recall the rest of the apostles were indignant about this. And how does Jesus respond to this? Not just for those two, but for all of them. He reminds them, don't be like the Gentiles. The Gentiles look to lord over those that are under their charge. He said, instead of trying to lord it over them, you be a servant. It's servant leadership. It's sacrificial leadership. And here it is, Peter picking up on that. We exercise oversight not by lording it over those that have been allotted to our charge. Over in the book of Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 34 and verse 4, there God was speaking about the shepherds of Israel in that day. And he says they were bad shepherds. And one of the reasons why they were bad shepherds is because they were exercising oversight with force, with severity. And they were dominating the sheep of the people. My beloved, as we've talked about, we are here to lead you through instruction, lead you through imitation, lead you through intercession. Not by force, not by bullying, not by dominating. And just so you know, I've given you a little bit of an example of how I desire to lead. That if we're going through, we're looking at something, we're going to spend a pretty thorough amount of time walking through it and looking at different angles about it so that we properly understand it. So that's how we're to do this. But then the question of why is there in verse 4. Because he says, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. He's talking to the elders there. Go shepherd the flock of God. Do it how I'm telling you to do it. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's when you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. So why is it that we are to shepherd the way we're going to shepherd? It's not for remuneration. It's not for recognition. It's not for rewards. It's ultimately for the recognition and the reward that comes from Christ in the future. Beloved, that's not to say, look, I'm very, very thankful and appreciative of the financial support that you provide me as a church. I'm very thankful and appreciative for how often many of you come and share encouraging words. It's a blessing to my heart. It's a blessing to my life. But ultimately, in the end, the one I serve is the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, what I want to hear is at the end that I can say I have fought the good fight. I've completed my course. I've completed my ministry. And Jesus can say, well done. I want to be able to say, Lord, I served with a clear conscience. You're my witness of how and why I served the way I did. So this is the who, the how, and the why. But now the rest of our time, I want to focus in on what it is. We're talking about shepherding the flock of God. What does that entail? Well, first off, I said it requires labor. That's working hard. And it's laboring in the Word, and it's laboring in prayer. It's laboring in the Word, and it's laboring in prayer. You think about this. Paul, when he left Titus with the responsibility of putting in order some of the things that still needed to be put in order, in these young, newly planted churches that had been organized. The main thing he was calling on Titus to do to bring all that into order was going to be teaching and preaching, laboring in the word. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But as for you, here's what I want you to do. You go teach what is proper for sound doctrine. And at the end of chapter 2, he talks about you do this. You exhort them. You rebuke them. You do this with authority. You do this with love towards them. He said, Titus, you got to keep going back and reminding them of these things. Teach the gospel to them. Then he would want Titus then to obviously appoint and train up men in the church. Why? Because those men, according to Titus 1, are going to be joining him in laboring in the word. And not only that, Titus was going to leave one day, and those men would have the responsibility of leading the church in the laboring in the word of God. Paul basically gave Timothy the same charge. He left him in Ephesus at the church there. He left him there as an elder, as a representative of Paul, as a leader, as a pastor, teacher. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, he told him, preach the word. If you read through 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, the pastoral epistles, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, and you see the things he says there for them to avoid, that they're to avoid getting engaged in and teaching. But then he says, but here's some things I want you to be teaching. Here's what you need to be doing, guarding the deposit of the scripture, retaining that deposit, proclaiming that deposit, treasuring that deposit. Preach, remind them of these things. Take pains with these things. Pay attention to your doctrine. Retain the standard of sound words which you've heard from me. And the things which you have heard, go and preach, teach. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 2, he tells Timothy, you now have the responsibility to entrust these things you've heard from me. You entrust it to faithful men. Why? So that then they can join in the laboring of the word and teaching it to others as well. Beloved, it is a labor. It's a labor of love in the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, it is there that Paul said, those that are diligently laboring among you, and a part of that is giving you instructions. I want you to look back with me for a moment in Acts chapter 20. Let's go back there for a moment. Because I want you to look. Paul is describing his ministry. His ministry of preaching and teaching. During the 2 to 3 years he was there in Ephesus among them. And notice what he says beginning in verse 18. In Acts 20 verse 18. When they had come to him, he said to them, you yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia, how I was with you the whole time. This is how I was with you the whole time. Serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's saying, look, I came and I prioritized the gospel to you. And notice what he says. Paul says, I didn't come there to be a Jewish church. I didn't come there for this to be a Gentile church. I didn't come there for this to be any kind of particular church in that sense. I just came there first and foremost testifying to Jews, Greeks, it didn't matter, the true faith and repentance you need to have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's not where he stopped. He said earlier, I didn't shrink from declaring you anything that was profitable. And look down in verse 25. He says, and now behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore, I testify to you this day. I'm innocent of the blood of all men. And here's why. Because I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Paul says, when I was there, I was preaching the gospel to you, but I was preaching the kingdom to you. I was declaring to you the whole purpose of God, the whole plan of God, the whole program of God. I was taking you back into eternity past, and I was bringing you to eternity future. I was bringing the whole thing of what God is saying. so that you would understand it. You would understand who you are, where you are in God's plan, God's program, and what God's doing. Paul was doing this, laboring in the Word. And as he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, you have to do this with diligence. You have to be diligent in the Word of God so that you're properly understanding it and cutting it straight, delivering it accurately. And beloved, may I say in this labor, it means all pastors, all elders need to remember that first and foremost, one, they're serving the Lord. Two, it is God's people that they're serving. But three, they're going to be accountable to Him for their effort, for their diligence in the Word and the laboring in the Word, even to the conclusions that they come to. It's about pleasing God first and foremost and not man. It's about pleasing Him. And even though, as we learned in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, though all elders have a responsibility of laboring in the Word, some are going to have greater responsibility. Because he says those who rule well, those who are working hard at preaching and teaching, those are the ones that you're going to be giving double honor and support. And part of that is the support financially. So laboring in the Word. But also I said laboring in prayer. Laboring in prayer. Again, if we were to go back over to Acts chapter 6 when the apostles were there, those are the main leaders. Remember, everybody's going by the teaching of the apostles. And in Acts 6, whenever this situation arises that some widows are being overlooked, what do they tell them? They basically say, we have to keep prioritizing the work of the Word and the work of prayer. Last week, I told you part of leading our homes. We talked about this yesterday among the men, leading our homes, spiritual leadership, whether it's in the home or in the church, a part of that is intercession. It is prayer. And clearly, when you read through the testimony of Paul, the epistles of Paul, what you see is over and over again, he is leading by praying for God's people. He's praying for their walk with the Lord. He's praying for their wisdom with the Lord. He's praying about their love for Christ. He's praying about their love for one another. He prays about their fruitfulness in the Lord. He prays about the effectiveness of the gospel in their life and in their church. He prays about their devotion to Christ. Paul just wants these things to be growing and increasing, and he knows a part of that is his responsibility to labor to the point of exhaustion, not just in the Word, but in prayer. And furthermore, if we go over to the book of James, in James chapter 5, it is there you'll find that James says when someone is sick, they're to pray, come ask for the elders to come and pray for them. So, beloved, when we're talking about shepherding, we're talking about laboring in the Word, laboring in prayer. That's what you want. That's what you want. But the other aspect of shepherding, when we're talking about now the pastoring and the tending to the sheep, has to do with leading them. As we've seen, elders are in a position of authority in spiritual matters. He's talking about here shepherding the flock of God among you, exercising oversight over them, as we're going to see here in a moment. If you remember what we talked about just a couple of weeks ago in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 4 and 5, which says the man is going to be a manager of the household of God. They're to take care of the household of God. But the idea is presiding over, ruling over, leading over them from 1 Timothy 5 and verse 17. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 12, it is there that Paul says, those who have charge over you, those who have taken the lead among you. And we can go through different passages and different scriptures, and you see the leadership in the church presiding over the policies of the church there in Acts chapter 6, the planning of the church there in Acts chapter 6. We just read it a moment ago from Acts chapter 11 and verse 30. When they brought the financial gift, who did they bring it to? They brought it to the elders. They're the ones who are having to oversee that. The policies, the planning, the finances. In Acts chapter 15, if you were to look over there, you would see whenever there was a doctrinal issue, an issue of discernment that was coming up, who was leading the charge of this and overseeing it? It was the apostles there with the elders. In Acts chapter 14, we see there that it was Paul and Barnabas that were leading the charge of appointing elders in those churches. When they wrote to Timothy and Titus in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, he's giving them as the leaders there, you have the responsibility of appointing leaders and other elders in the church. In 1 Timothy 3, when he's talking about how they conduct themselves, he's primarily focusing that in on Timothy. But what I'm saying to you is, as I mentioned last Sunday, as the man in the home is responsible for presiding over the resources of his home, the religion of his home, the relationships in his home, when it comes now into the household of God and the church, it is the elders who now have the responsibility of presiding over that and the resources and the religion and the relationship of how we worship, the things we will do. We're leading in that way. And obviously, again, we're leading by example. As he talks about here in 1 Peter 5. That imitation being an example among the flock. But also, don't forget the gift of leadership that we see in Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 through 8. To lead with diligence. So, beloved, elders are there laboring in the word and prayer. They're there leading the church, presiding over the church. But again, they're not doing that by lording it over, by being bullying and domineering in that sense. But there's one other thing that they'll be looking after, God's sheep. Even the idea here in 1 Peter 5, exercising oversight. That idea there of exercising oversight is to look upon the whole scope. Just think about it. Elders are also called overseers from the same word. In Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it is there, it says, those that are leading are the ones watching over your souls. As we were just reading there a moment ago in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28 and in verse 31, he's calling on them to guard not only their heart, but guard the church. In verse 31, he says, being alert. This is a part of looking after. You're guarding, you're being alert, you're watching over, you're looking after. As it says in Proverbs 27 and verse 23, knowing well your flocks, paying attention to your flock, to your herd. And again, this was part of the problem when God is getting onto and bringing judgment against the shepherds and the leaders that are there for Israel in the day and back in Ezekiel 34 and verse 4, because he says, there are those sheep that are sick and you're not strengthening them, diseased and you're not healing them, the broken and you're not binding them, the scattered and you're not bringing them back, the lost and you're not seeking for them. You're just worried about yourself, is what he was saying. So long as you are taken care of. God's word is saying here as we're looking at this, this is not what we're called to do. So, beloved, here's what I would say, just kind of wrapping this up for this morning. This is a high calling. It is an excellent work. And I would even again encourage you men to think about this in your own life. You labor. You're to lead. You're to look after those under your care in your home. And we all do this from a love for Christ. You do it for a love for the people in your home. Here the shepherds do it as a love for God's people. What I would just encourage and ask us to do in response to this is to be praying that God will providentially raise up men who have that calling on their life to be shepherds. He's preparing them now with character their commitment, they're competent. But even in their being competent, they're willing to give themselves to learning and developing in these areas of leading and looking after and laboring in the Word of God. Because remember, we're always progressing. And maybe for some of you here today, you need to give some more thought about joining and attaching yourself to the church. As I mentioned, you're a sheep, you need shepherds. It's not healthy for sheep to be without shepherds, and really to be without the other sheep. I want to encourage you to pray for me, pray for your elders. As we desire to be what God's Word says we're to be. I can speak for myself of knowing as I go back through these things to see shortcomings and see things that the Lord is convicting me about and things I need to do. It needs to be a part of your regular prayer life. You're praying for the leaders of your church. You're lifting them up. This is one of the primary ways you can support them and encourage them. This is something everyone can do. You know what you now know, as I talked about with our men yesterday, when you know the responsibilities of your family and the roles they have, then you know what to pray. Well, now you know the responsibilities and the roles better of an elder and a pastor in the church. Now you know better how to pray. Because what you want are just these things. Are just these things. Why don't I ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment? And as you do, I want you to reflect on your own heart and life. I want you to reflect on just praying right now. Just take a moment to pray. Pray for God to raise up men, prepare men. Pray for the leaders now in regards to these specific areas. Lord God, as we, your people, bow before you, I pray by your help, by your Spirit, you will impress upon our hearts to genuinely be praying, making a matter of prayer, of praying for you to raise up men, supporting the leaders in prayer now. What a blessing that is, Lord, if leaders are praying for the people and the people are praying for the leaders. How you can bring a bond in their hearts. Lord, bless your word today. Bless it in my life. Things that you've pointed out to me. Blessed in everyone's life that is here today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.